Let's pray. Father in heaven, prepare our hearts to receive what you'd want us to receive and see what we need to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm using a study guide from David Jeremiah. I like David Jeremiah's the way he illustrates outlines. He uses letters. For example, we have four C's. And what we're going to be looking at today is the common experience of temptation, the controlled environment of temptation, the certain escape from temptation, and of course, the conclusion is, how do we deal with temptation? And under that, there's seven R's. We need to recognize, request, resist, retreat, remove, replace, and resolve. How about that? That's why I like his study guides, because he uses those letters. It's helpful to try to remember. Temptation is something you and I aren't ever going to get away with it, with temptation, because temptation, as long as you're living, you will have the opportunity to face temptation. As David Jeremiah says, and I'm going to try to paraphrase so I'm not reading, he says it's an ever-present factor in our life. From Adam and Eve to the present day. And the failure to resist temptation has been the source of countless tears of regret. Not learning how to resist it. Temptation has captured the lives of many people. And so we need to learn how to defeat temptation. And God has provided that way of escape. The Apostle Paul wrote about that, and we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll be using those next three verses. Don't know exactly why Paul had used or penned these words, but we know that there was Christians living in Corinth, and there was rapid wickedness in this city. Corinth was a seaport. It was a crossroads in the Mediterranean world, and Paul may have been writing this particularly to the church at Corinth to help them defeat this temptation that many of them were facing. And so it makes his words applicable to us today. We certainly live in a society very much like Corinth. Every conceivable temptation flaunts itself daily in our culture. And with the internet, there's many things that's available that probably should not be made available. We need Paul's words about escaping temptation. And so he starts that no one is free from temptation. It is a constant foe, no matter who we are. One thing we need to understand, it's common. It's a common experience. It's all common to man. I'm looking at verse 13 is where I'm getting the information. All temptation is common to man. Paul says temptation is a common enemy of everyone on earth. The Bible teaches a lot of truths from Genesis to Revelation. Abraham lied about his wife. Actually, half-truth. She was a half-sister. Noah became, I like to use the other word, he became drunk. Jeremiah is nicer. He says he was intoxicated. I like to use the word drunk. He was drunk. What the Bible says, he was drunk. David committed murder and adultery. Jonah rebelled against God. Peter denied the Lord. John Mark gave up his missionary commitment. Paul and Barnabas became cross with one another. We don't know what happened or caused it, but they had some friction. And even our Lord himself was tempted. Anybody know when? Right after he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And the voice came out and said, "This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased." And that says in the next chapter, and immediately the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now I have underlined in my Bible, I didn't turn to it, but I have it underlined, the Spirit led him. The Holy Spirit led him. That's interesting. And here, I like this. The important thing we need to remember is that temptation is not sin. He was tempted, but he was also without sin. Jesus was tempted in all ways as man, yet he was without sin. And I like this, what Brother Jeremiah wrote. Temptation is an exposure to the possibility of doing the wrong thing. Two things you can do in temptation. You can either yield to it or resist it. Hopefully, through this lesson, you'll learn how to resist it. But God gave us a choice that makes the difference. We're all given a choice. He didn't make us robots. He could have. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. He could have made us robots. Angels worship him. Did you know that angels were also created with, I said it, choice? Angels today worship their master and creator because they want to. But they have been given a choice as well. Because we know that 1/3 of the heavenly host made a decision one day to go with their leader, the devil. 1/3 of the heavenly host. That's a lot of angels. We don't know how many angels. The Bible says there's myriads of angels. Probably millions created. And we know that 1/3 made their decision to go with the devil. The devil persuaded them to go with him. Now we know those that remain have decided to stay. Good for them. Wise choice. Wise choice. And I've heard some say, well, they couldn't change their mind now if they'd want to. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I won't tell you the denomination that believes that. I'm not here to pick on denominations. I'm just here to make you aware that they actually believe those angels' wills have been frozen. I don't believe such a thing. God would never freeze anybody's will. Why did he make it? Why did he give you a choice to begin with? Hello. It ain't rocket science. God gave him a choice, all of us, because he wants people to serve him because they want to. They love him. I serve the Lord today because I love him. I remember those days when Lauren and I were very little that we served the Lord because my parents wanted us to serve him. Big difference, folks. That's a big difference. Because the day will come, if you're doing it for that reason, you will rebel against their commandments. And not only will you rebel against mom and dad's commandments, you will be rebelling against his. I'm having a little trouble with my teeth. If they fly out, Leroy, you catch them. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have injected that. I'm having a battle on my own up here this morning. Temptation is an exposure to that possibility of doing wrong. The exposure or the temptation is not sin. It's not the same as doing the wrong thing, which is sin. Kenneth Taylor, who wrote the Living Bible, paraphrased verse 13 like this. Remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new or different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. So remember that temptation is common to you, to every believer. It is to be expected, so let's prepare for it and plan for its defeat. Their second C is controlled environment. In verse 13, the latter part of verse 13, it says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God allows you to experience certain things, and he's expecting you to have to make a choice. God knows what our strength is. He knows what our limitations are. So when you hear somebody say it was more than I could handle, I know that is not true. Because the Bible says all temptation is under God's control. He doesn't give us more than what we can resist with his help. And we have a good example of that in the Apostle Paul's life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 10, there he described himself as being tested beyond his own strength, and yet not ever beyond God's ability to deliver him. There's the key. Always it's within God's ability to deliver. Just remember, but you've got to make the choice. That's up to you. You've got to make that choice. Most people would prefer that life would be free of temptations. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor, why do we have to go through temptations anyway? Let me tell you why. You would never be able to demonstrate your love for Jesus. You would be kept from showing your loyalty to Almighty God and his holy principles you can enjoy as opposed to the things of the world. And here's where our author brings in automatons. Those are robots. Even though he gives us aid through the power of the Spirit to resist or not, it's still our choice. He is either glorified or not, depending on, again, our choice. And I already shared with you, the angels were even given choices. We all have choices. And you've chosen today to be where you are in church. Good choice, wise choice. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. And even the more so as you see the day approaching. What day is that? We know that day is when Jesus is coming back. And the things that we're seeing take place in our world today should behoove you to even be in church whenever it's possible. There's a lot of things happening, and you need God's strength and one another's prayers. Thirdly, there is a certain escape. This escape is certain. God sees the end of the temptation, which is our escape, at the same time that he sees the beginning of the temptation. There you are. He sees it all. Now, you might be in the midst of it and think, man, this is rough. But remember, God sees the end of it. He knows exactly how it's going to work out. He knows your choice. How about that? I believe he knows how you're going to decide. He certainly knew Adam and Eve were going to do what they did because he already made the provisions for their wrong choice. He already had made the provisions, were already in place because he already knew. But even though he knew, he still wanted to give them the choice. It was theirs. He didn't make anybody. God doesn't make anybody do things except sometimes, if you're one of his servants, like Jonah. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah made some wrong choices. Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. But you know, God has a way of seeing things his way. God has a way of helping you to see things his way. But you know what? He still gives you the ability to make that choice. I think by the time God was done with him, Jonah had realized he better start making some right choices. You know, when you got seaweed hanging all over your hair and your ears and spitting seaweed when you get out of that belly of the whale, you'll realize that maybe I start doing it your way, Lord. I don't want to go on a Jonah trip because that's not fun. God knows the way out when the test begins. He don't figure it out as he goes along. Christ himself was tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted, Hebrews 2:18. He's already been there and done it. He knows the way of escape. He has it ready for us. Now, one of the things that Brother David Jeremiah shares here, I've learned, he says, over time, is that temptation is not so much a matter of what we don't do, as much as a matter of who we love. When we come to know the Lord Jesus and we cultivate within our hearts a relationship of intimacy with him, that's spending time with him. Fancy word for spending time with him, intimacy. The one who knew no sin becomes a very powerful beacon, and his ways of escape become ours. How? Through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. When we are living in fellowship with him daily, we should be doing it. It's hard to consider grieving him, our Lord, and by the way, our best friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Remember that song? He is your dearest friend. He's your dearest friend. I remember growing up, Mother would always say, pick the right kind of friends. Pick the right kind of friends because you will become like them. Be careful who you run with. Pick the right kind of friends. With Jesus, he's the right kind of friends. With every temptation, there is a point when we know the way of escape is right before us. And if we choose, there it is, not to take it, it won't be there later. There is a way of escape, and we must take it when God shows it to us. And if we don't take it, it's an indication that we didn't want to escape to begin with. Ooh, wow. Did you catch that? We really didn't want to escape anyway. That's sad. So that raises another concern about our desire to obey God in the first place. Some people simply just don't want to obey him. They just want to do their own thing and keep God out of it. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Remember that. I like the way our author says the word of escape that Paul uses was sometimes used in Greek to describe a very narrow passage through which one would pass, like the steep walls of a canyon, which defines a very narrow passage through a rugged bit of terrain. The way of escape is like that. It's a single narrow choice which must be made. There are no alternate ways out of that canyon of temptations. If we're going to get out, we have to take that one path that is provided. To turn and go a different way would mean you'd be stuck in that place of temptation with no escape. Now, I didn't have a chance to go see Petra, but the pictures I've seen of Petra is describing this very same path. It's a passage, very, very narrow, through large rocks. And there's only one way in and one way out. The same way. We used to tell people when they were visiting Mount Pleasant Mills, it's go down Main Street, and if you get lost, come back the same street. All right. One way. You know what that means? You go the wrong way, you'll find out. One way in and one way out. That's a good way to describe. Fourthly, conclusion. How do we deal with temptation? We got seven R's for you. First thing you need to do is recognize the possibility of it being a temptation. That's the first thing you got to do is recognize it. And it says a person begins to set himself up for a fall into sin when he thinks that he is beyond temptation. In verse 12, Paul said it very clearly. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And the one who says, that could never happen to me, is probably the most likely candidate to sin. Pride goes before destruction. King James, Proverbs 16:18. Now here's some information. A seminary professor who was a friend of Brother Jeremiah's kept track of ministers and students who failed in ministry due to sexual temptation. When his list reached more than 100 names, he suddenly realized the common element. In all but two cases, he said those on the list had been characterized by pride. It can't happen to me. Woe to the person who pridefully believes that he is immune from any temptation. Secondly, request help in advance. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Twice, our Lord taught his disciples about the power of prayer as a defense against temptation. Our daily prayer should be that God would protect us that day from the temptations which might enter our path. We should ask him to make us sensitive and discerning and aware of the very subtle traps that the enemy might set. No soldier enters battle and then stops to sharpen his sword. Likewise, the best preparations for that spiritual conflict is accomplished before the battle begins. Thirdly, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James says if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. But the prior condition for that resistance is that we have to be submissive to God, James 4 and 7. In resisting the devil, we need to submit to the word of God as Jesus did when he resisted in Satan's temptation in the wilderness, which is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, 1 through 11. And at the very end of that period, when Jesus relied on those verses from Deuteronomy to resist the devil's advances, the Bible says the devil departed from him. And he will also depart from any of us who submits to the word of God. Fourthly, retreat from temptation. Anybody remember somebody in the scriptures that retreated from temptation? Genesis? Fellow by the name of, starts with a J, Joseph. Joseph was a young, good-looking young man. The king's wife thought so too. So nice looking, she wanted to have him. She tried her best, and he knew he'd better get out of there. And he retreated. Well, you know, that really made her angry. Because who could resist the king's wife? But he did. It made her angry. The devil was just using her. She was too dumb to know it. So she got angry. She made up a story and caused Joseph to be in prison. He never touched her. But she made up a story and put him in prison. That's how the devil works. Be careful. What you sow is what you reap. Resisting temptation is always our responsibility. But how we do that can vary. And one of the ways the scripture reminds us to do is that we should retreat or run from temptation. And there's three kinds of temptation from which we should retreat quickly. The first one is we need to retreat from idolatry. I think that's verse 14. Yes. My dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We're to flee from idolatry. An idol is anything that gets between you and God. While our idols may not be figurines that sit on the shelf in our home, there are certainly plenty of things which we are inclined to worship if given the opportunity, and we are to flee from those things. We are to retreat from immorality. Twice the New commands us to flee from immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 2 Timothy 2:22. Area of temptation because the power of sexual attraction. It is a deception to think that we can toy around with temptation in this area and come out unscathed. We are to imitate Joseph in the Old Testament, who literally ran out of his master's house when he was being tempted by his master's wife, leaving his coat in her hands, from which she made up her own story. Thirdly, we're to retreat from greed. 1 Timothy 6:10 and 11 says we are to flee greed, the pursuit of material things. The never-ending temptation to seek more and more and more is what Paul warned against in this passage. Material things can become idols, which come between us and God. The lure for mammon is so strong that Paul said, flee from it. Fifthly, remove any means of sin far from you. Remove. The word is remove. We have the responsibility not to make ourselves available to temptation. I like this one. You're going to like this. One man who was trying to lose weight decided he would only stop at the bakery if God provided a parking place directly in front of the store. Well, a space became available on his eighth trip around the block. Now, that's not exactly demonstrating a high level of commitment to resisting temptation, is it? Yeah, I laughed too. How often do we find ourselves creating similar scenarios as we toy with temptation? We try to justify it. We try to think we're the only ones that ever went through this. You're not. Romans 13:14 says, make no provision for the flesh. Now, what did that guy do, drive 8 times around the block? Would you call he was making provision for the flesh? I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. But Paul said, don't make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Instead of setting ourselves up for failure, we should set ourselves up for victory. Don't put yourself in a position where it's impossible not to sin. Put yourself in a place where it's not possible to sin by removing the means of sin far from you. Sixthly, replace bad influences with good ones. Bad habits are hard to break. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. There's certainly a definite tension involved in our lives as believers. In one hand, we want to spend our time around godly people who will influence us and move us in the direction of maturity in Christ. On the other hand, if Christians are the only people we spend time with, how will non-Christians be won to Christ? The records of history are replete with multitudes of cases of well-meaning Christians being diverted from their standards of holiness in Christ by temptations encountered in their relationships with non-Christians. We must maintain accountability with other believers who can help us monitor our relationships. Who is having the most influence? Am I influencing this person for Christ, or is this person influencing me toward world and sin? Ooh. Remember what I said? Pick the right kind of friends. Pick the right kind of friends. It's obviously the right thing to do is to reach out to those who don't know Christ, or even Christians who are less mature and still struggle to overcome the world. But if you become trapped in a web of deceit because of your involvement, it needs to stop until you can regain perspective and maintain accountability for your own life and standards in Christ. You need to replace bad influences with good ones. And then lastly, resolve. Resolve to live on the high road. If you're a Christian today, you need to resolve to get off the low road of non-commitment. And you need to live permanently on the high road. The high road is not free of temptation or spiritual pitfalls, but it is the road by which you are committed to taking the way of escape. And God provides it in times of testing. You will be tested. There will be a way of escape provided, but only those on the high road will see it and take it. Bow your heads. We're finished for now. Thank you, Lord, for this study today. It spoke to my heart. I've been enjoying these messages you've given to your servant, and I'm glad that I'm able to share them with your people today. Lord, we all need some help. We all need your help. As we sang the song, we need you every hour. We need you all the time. I believe I remember Moses said something like, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. I feel the same way. I want you to always be with me. And if I'm in places where I shouldn't be, convict me. Make me aware that I shouldn't be there. It's a place I shouldn't be. I don't want to grieve you. I want you to continue to love me. And I pray, Lord, for these that have heard this message today, that they'll learn how to handle temptation, to make the right choice of escape, to always look to you. You're the author and finisher of our faith. And to look to you to help us. We need you, Lord. And as you taught your disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation. And I pray that today, lead me not into temptation. But if you see fit, then Lord, give me your strength to take me through it. Help me to learn what I need to learn. And I pray that I'll come out victorious. And I pray that that'll be the case for everyone in here that's heard this message today. Help them to be victorious in their time of temptation or testing. And I thank you and I praise you for all that you're going to do. Give us a wonderful week. We thank you for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.